And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. No! Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, before the Jedi can lead Mortis, the Sun takes Ahsoka captive in an attempt to entice Anakin into joining him to use their combined strength to overpower the father and the sister. To this end, the Sun casts Ahsoka under a spell of the dark side. There will be evil Ahsoka, Obi-Wan with the smoking dagger in the Tower of Sauron, and magical destiny bullshit. We're talking about Alter Mortis this week. How you doing, Chris?
Good. I see you're starting to come over to my side of thinking on the Mortis arc.
See, I like the first episode, but these, like, getting into the last two is when the problems happen. And that's when I've always said, you know, if you go back and listen to old episodes, I say I like and dislike the Mortis arc. And that's mostly, I like the first episode, the this one and next week are just fucking train wrecks. They're train wrecks. I hate them. They're so bad.
I'm not going to argue with you.
Yeah, but did you have a good week?
I did. I'm in the middle. I had a long, I'm still having a long, grueling week.
Yeah.
I'm doing a lot of extra work because I'm taking the weekend off for a big garage sale. Dario's coming up. I got home from work today. I set up Dario's tent in our backyard. He's got his Clone Wars blanket on the air mattress out there.
Aww. Well, definitely tell Dario I said hi.
It would have been your Clone Wars blanket if it had Rex on it, but it's Rex free.
That's all right.
So it's mine.
That's totally fine. But I had a good week. As much as I like my comic book job, I'm starting to look for other jobs, and I've been job hunting all week, so yeah.
Just don't get a soul killer.
That's what I'm trying to avoid.
We don't need any dead souls on Two True Freaks.
Anything that I want to get, I want to make sure, because my number one priority is my novel. I am 450 pages into writing my first draft. I'm almost done with volume two. I would like to be almost done with I'm almost done with volume one. I would like to be close to finished with volume two by the time I hit my birthday in September. So, yeah. whatever I get, it cannot interfere with my writing, because that's why I left Hot Topic years ago, is just because it was so draining, I never had time to write, because I didn't feel like it.
You need a job where you don't do anything and you can sit around and write.
You know? Yeah, I know. So, I'm looking and stuff. I'm actually kind of hoping for, like, a 9-to-5 regular person job, and then that way I can come home and write for a few hours and then have weekends off to write. So that's what I'm kind of looking for right now, but I don't want anything that's like crazy overtime, work weekends and stuff, and I also want to make sure I still have nights off for you and me, because this is just as important to me too. But it's kind of hard because I do love my comic book job, but they don't pay me and some shenanigans are going down, and yeah, I'm going to be surprised if it's open for another year or two.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. But anyway, let's talk about the Mortis arc.
Sure.
We're so excited. All right, well, here we go. Act 1, from all these notes up to Act 1, I wrote last week, but because we didn't record last week, I don't really remember what I wrote from Act 1. Act 2 and on, I'm good, because I did those last night, but I don't remember what I wrote for Act 1, so here we go. And the background information, I don't remember what I have. We'll see. All right, here we go. Alter Mortis is the 60th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars and aired on February 4th, 2011. It was written by Christian Taylor and directed by Brian Callen O'Connell. Some extra information for you. So I noticed the year for this episode, like the Star Wars year, was 20 BBY in Star Wars years. So I clicked on it just to see what other cool happenings was happening during this time. And pretty much 20 BBYs spans the entire second half of Season 3 of Clone Wars, all of Season 4, and most of Season 5. So this was a very busy Clone Wars year. And also, this is the year that the Death Star began being built over Geonosis. So it's currently being built, as from now till Season 5 is happening in Clone Wars. They're building a Death Star. In the episode featurette, Dave Filoni said, "In the Mortis trilogy, Christian Taylor, the writer, and I were discussing the stories after George Lucas had laid them out. And we were discussing, how do we conquer this? How do we bring it all together to make it make sense to have some kind of continuity with the other Star Wars films? With something this supernatural, I kept telling Christian, you just have to think of it like when Luke is in the tree on Dagobah. This is spiritual. This is all metaphorical. This is all symbolic in some way. Ultimately, the Dagger of Mortis is really just a metaphorical device. It's difficult. The difficult thing about the dagger was working out the logic of it. You have a weapon that can kill these ultra beings. Joel, Aaron, and I made this blade manifest itself from smoke, so it had to have more of a magical property. I always thought it was sort of Vulgarian. I don't know what that is. Vulgarian. He said it with no subtitle, so I don't even know if that's right.
Were you taking it from like his? From him speaking?
Yeah, he spoke and I typed out what
he might mean Wagnerian, like like Wagner, the opera, German opera writer.
Maybe, because when I looked up Wagnerian, I did actually find some sort of like weird dwarf game thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
It could be, yeah, yeah.
I don't know, Dave Filoni. I always thought it was sort of a Wagnerian scene going down to the depths where the dagger was, with it surrounded by all this fire. If we branch out our discussions with the dagger as a metaphor, then I can tell you many things in this arc of stories is a metaphor. Everything is symbolic for everything that takes place in the 6 Star Wars films.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. Dave Filoni.
Dave.
Thanks for all the metaphor.
I'm going to try.
I'm not blaming Dave Filoni. Dave Filoni's trying to make, you know, lemonade here out of George Lucas. Like a whim of George Lucas's is what I get the impression. He's trying to be nice.
I have in my notes for next week a summary of the Mortis arc of what exactly the word it is. But I'm going to go ahead and say it now. This is George Lucas's fan fiction.
It's his own fanfic. It is.
That he's making Dave Filoni do. Yep. And you're going to hear that again next week, guys.
Oh, next week is the peak of that, yeah.
Oh, my God. We're going to have so much haterade next week. Hey, but let's perk this up a bit, because you know who's also perked up right now?
Oh,
my God, it sounded like you just poked Yoda with a stick.
Yoda with a stick.
You're like Lord of the Flies Yoda with the pig right there for a second.
Perky.
Alright, well, take away the space platitude for the week, Yoda.
He who surrenders hope surrenders life. In bed!
I guess I can kind of see that. If you give up on having sex, you can't procreate.
Hey, it's got your name in it. You didn't even capitalize it in the notes.
Despite my name being Hope, I don't always capitalize.
It's capitalized in my notes in my book, and I didn't even think about it. I only looked like when I saw that you hadn't capitalized Hope on that to capitalize on your name being in there. I looked down and I'm like, oh yeah, I capitalized it in my notes.
Mm-hmm. I'm so used to it. It just doesn't bother me.
Yeah. Well, it's Star Wars. You're going to get Hope. You're going to get As You Wish. You're going to get a Got a Bad Feeling About This.
Did I say As You Wish as much in the movies, or is this just becoming a Clone
no,
Wars thing?
No, it's been a Clone Wars thing. I think it was said once or twice. I think it was probably said once in the, you know, prequels and once in the original trilogy.
Okay.
And about every other week, and sometimes twice a week on Clone Wars.
If it's a Dooku episode, there's going to be an As You Wish.
It's all over Rebels, too. It's up and down Rebels, too, I've noticed.
Then I just say that
it's
Dave Filoni
is a drinking game in the making.
Yeah, Dave Filoni's just a Princess Bride fan. Anyway, Act 1?
Act 1, let's do this.
Let's, yeah. Yeah, okay, Act 1, here we go.
Here we go.
Last week, our Jedi heroes smoked some good shit and dreamed up they were
all... Hey, Anakin, check this out, man.
It was so good. Ahsoka's like, guys, I'm underage. They're like, so?
Smoka!
Smoka! And they dreamed up they were on this distant planet where these three Force users lived. And then the Jedi realized that it never happened. I'm just kidding, guys. We're still on Mortis this week.
Hey, man, I got some of this Jedi weed. Glows green.
I just imagine someone lighting a bong with their lightsaber.
Yo, this stuff smells worse on the inside. Ha ha!
Can this just be the episode? Next week on Jacket and Jedi. Thanks for listening.
Hey, check out what you got built into your droid.
Well, I never! Sir, that is not a bong.
Okay, anyway. As they're flying away from Mortis, Anakin tries to take a power nap because he's had such a long day. He dreams that the sun tells him he's the chosen one and he should come to the dark side because they have the best pot and munchies. And Anakin's all like, no way, bro, I'm straight edge.
Dude, the coach tests the team every year, dude. Can't do it.
And Sun says that they will destroy the Sith and the Jedi. And then Anakin snaps awake. And Obi-Wan is like, hey, Sleeping Beauty, I'm not Bodhi Rook up here. Help me fly this thing. And then the moment that Anakin turns away, he hears Ahsoka struggle behind him. The Sun has Ahsoka and jumps out of the ship with her. And Anakin takes over the ship and flies after them. The Sun escapes into the fog, and Anakin nearly hits Sauron's tower. Swerving, he crashes the ship into the ground. And Anakin is like, fuck it, I'm gonna go get my Padawan. And Obi-Wan tries to reason with him, saying, dude, we're playing with cosmic fire, and we're gonna get burned. We don't know what any of this is. Swallow your attachments, leave the kid, and let's not mess up the universe, please. Or at the very least, let's at least chat with the father first and get some advice. And Anakin's all like, I got this, because I'm like the chosen one or something. And he puts on a pair of shades and heads out for Sauron's tower. Locked up in the tower, Ahsoka is all bark and no bite, and this little blue gremlin guy tells her, yo, your master's not coming back for you, so you should just give up now. And Ahsoka's like, yeah, that's dumb. And after getting all up in Ahsoka's bubble space, the gremlin frees her, but then bites her on the arm. The dude is actually the Sun, and Ahsoka falls to the floor, but awakens a lot like Savage Opress, full of dark side steroids.
Okay, where do we start with this? I'm going to start right with the opening narration, and this is how you can tell it's not probably going to go good. The words that they have to say in the opening narration to, you know, catch up on what's going on and what happened last episode sounds really cheesy, and not in the fun cheesy way that it usually sounds, like a, you know, a movie serial or something. It sounds fanficky, the whole thing.
I feel like I read this fic on like AO3 or something.
Yeah, it's just fanficorific. I mean, I like the ideas of like, oh, okay, they want to destroy the Jedi and the Sith and stuff, and it's leading into a lot of the stuff that I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of in Star Wars in general. But it's doing it in such... It's almost like they got these ideas from this, from George Lucas, but they've developed them into something much better especially in Rebels and in... Well, we haven't seen The Last Jedi yet, but I have a strong suspicion we're going to see a lot of these ideas in the upcoming Star Wars movies.
Yeah, I mentioned that in my notes, too.
But it's just so... it's so cheesily done.
It's very heavy-handed.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite part of this first segment was when they crash a ship and their gangplank comes out all cockeyed. And they climb... you rarely just see that in movie. You know, it's like it comes out, but it's all at a weird angle because they crashed. And and they just sort of have to step off it weird. And I like it's that's just a nice little touch that's very Star Wars-y.
That's sad if that's your favorite part.
It is. It is. Yes, it is. So
that's
sad.
That's bad for the episode.
It was just a little detail. I mean, the talking gremlin guy is, it's just too Lord of the Rings. It's, if it was, even if he just went, aguba, lalalubala, and they put words down on the bottom and Ahsoka was talking to him, you know, it would have felt more Star Wars-y.
Mm-hmm.
I struggle with liking any of it because I don't like the whole concept to begin with from the start, you know? And the first time I saw this, I thought it was all over with. The first time it was like, phew. Well, they got that out of their system in one episode, and it's like, nope. And really, not much different is happening than in the last episode. You know, it's sort of playing over the same themes over and over again.
And they do it again, like next week. Like, this could have really... Like, this could have been the one Morris episode. Just to set up this concept of, like, Force beings and people other than Jedi and stuff like that. Which would have been cool because of the Night Sisters. Like, we've already seen other people use the Force in different ways. And if they had just the one episode, like it or hate it, they could have got that out of the way. Still left the door open for Bindu.
The Night Sisters are out in the universe doing stuff. These guys are in their own... These guys are, like, behind-the-scene gods.
They're not even in the universe. They're in a pocket universe.
Right, right. They're somehow, like, a step above the universe or on a higher plane of it and stuff. And it just gets... I don't want the Force that personified, you know? I want the Force to be more of a fluid concept and open to the imagination. And I guess you could, because you could say, well, there's a layer, you know... It might get more abstracted each layer up in the Force you go until you get to the pure Force or whatever. But, yeah, I just don't need to know that the next plane of existence is a sort of, you know, is Lord of the Rings world of the Force.
And it's kind of like that thing, like, you know, we talked about it before, like, the Force is kind of like the idea of a religion, and, like, people, think of religion in different ways, and, like, they make their different gods. But this is actually saying there are literally Force gods out there.
Yes.
It's not like the night, like, the difference between, like, the Night Sisters to the Lasats to the Jedi to the Sith. Those four different groups are interpreting, or like, say, Churrit and the Guardians of the Wills. Those are, like, five groups interpreting the Force in different ways. That's cool. I don't actually, like, want, like, Lucifer, Gabriel, and God to come out and be like, hey, we're here. What's up?
I'm going to stick a little pin in this for people listening this week. And when you listen next week, if you're watching along and you've watched the last Mortis one, this Mortis one, once you've watched the whole Mortis arc, and we'll get back to it next week. But my question is, what's the point of this? what are we learning from it, and what are the characters learning from it, or, you know, altering their characters in it? And in the last two episodes, with this one sort of the last episode, you know, I guess he learned that he's the chosen one thing. And about these new guys, but why? To what end? What does that give Anakin? And it's open right now. So next week, we'll see what we think about that question, you know.
Yeah,
get out of all of this, you know.
I have my take on that question, too, but it's needed for next week. So.
Yeah, it's a next week question, but I'm just telling everybody, if you're, like, listening to this and you're, like, going to watch the shows or you're watching them, just sort of watch them with that in mind, you know, like, what is this doing that's going to, like, because Clone Wars has been, for the most part, very good at actually making the prequels better, you know, adding to the story, enriching the story to make everything deeper.
I mean, there's even a couple episodes that makes Jar Jar Binks a little better.
Sure, yeah. I mean, Jar Jar Binks, has some shining moments in Clone Wars, you know. I mean, I didn't hate him in the movies. I was okay with his character, but there were, there's points where you're like, oh, okay, but there's points also where I hated him in this. But at the same point, yeah, exactly. For the most part, they've been improving on it or adding to, and this, to me, it's subjective. It's not improving on, but it's up in the air till next week. Is what have they added to the Star Wars mythology or the characters themselves?
Yeah.
Well, that's basically all the notes I have for this great gangplank shot.
So that's my takeaway. I decided I would at least try and throw Dave Filoni a bone here. So I decided to try and find like symbols in this episode and metaphors and how they relate to the other movies, just like he said. Because now we have, what, like, seven, eight movies with, like, a ninth one on the way, if you count Rogue One and all that, and we also have Rebels. So I was like, okay, I'm going to try and find some symbols to connect to the movies and at least try to see what Dave Filoni is referring to. So that's what a lot of my notes is, me trying. I tried. I think I wrote better essays in, like, middle school. but I also had better material in middle school, so... So, the son telling Anakin that he makes the Force sound simple, light and dark, this or that. And the son says you can't have the light side without the dark side. And he's sort of sounding like Bindu from Rebels. And if you listen to our Celebration episode, we talked about how maybe Episode 8 is Luke trying to get more of a middle Force walkers or do away with the Jedi altogether.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I was thinking about that while I was watching it, that it was like, yeah, it's true. If you keep making Jedi, you're going to keep having Sith. And Sith, if you're making Sith, you're not going to have a good time.
And that's kind of, like, and we've seen that, like, Force Walkers work for some people. I mean, look at Ahsoka and Rebels. I mean, it worked for her. And then Anakin and Obi-Wan talk about going after Ahsoka. Feels kind of like Episode 3. Anakin couldn't give up on his attachments for Padme. And Obi-Wan was encouraging him, like, you know, like, we should just get out of here and save the universe. And Obi-Wan knows that Anakin's attachments are a struggle for him. And so Anakin was sort of acting the way he did in Episode 3, but now it's with Ahsoka, not Padme. I'm trying.
Or R2. Yeah,
or R2. Oh, that's true.
Similar incident with R2.
He fucking loves that droid. He will be like, you know what? I will go to the dark side for R2. If R2 turned into Chopper and he was evil, I would happily be a Sith Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Though, after spending a lot of last week protecting Ahsoka, it was really hard to hear Obi-Wan being a bit callous. Like he did at first say, we should leave her. And then he said, actually, we should go listen to the father. You know, go consult with the father before barging in after her and rescuing her. But it was, like, he spent a lot of last week protecting her, so it was really kind of callous when he said that.
Well, it works a little bit on the resentment with... The sort of resentment thing between Obi-Wan and Anakin, too, you know? So
yeah.
I guess that helps, like, in the general, like, working towards Episode 3 of, you know, where Anakin's less like, geez, Obi-Wan was going to let Ahsoka sit as a Force evil zombie, as a Force exorcist.
But, and my last one, and this is my first one trying to pull teeth. I'm having trouble linking symbolism from Ahsoka being bitten and filled with the dark side back to any of the movies. I was trying to be like, which of the six movies at the time would this go with? And now Force Awakens to go with it too. So I guess her eyes did turn yellow like Anakin's did in Episode 3 when he was a Sith. And was there a time that one of our heroes turned to the dark side like that? And Anakin can be the answer to that too?
See, I don't like the idea also that you can be bitten and go to the dark side. You know what I mean?
I kind of saw it as, like, it was a poison, like,
yeah.
You know, it was like a spiritual poison, like it brought all that to the forefront. I mean, because look what happened with Savage Opress. He was this tiny guy, and he pretty much got filled with Night Sister juices, and he was suddenly, like, Force-sensitive and stuff like that. So maybe it's a dark side thing.
Yeah, maybe.
I tried. I was trying to connect how that connected to the movies. Do you have any examples of that with Ahsoka in any of the movies? I can't think of any.
I don't think so. No, I don't remember.
Okay. Well, Act 2!
Act 2.
Yeah.
Maybe this one will be better.
Well, I...
Fingers crossed.
All right, Act 2. Obi-Wan is dad panicking at the ship now, having lost two of his Padawans. He wonders how to even find the father. Turning around, he's not at his ship anymore. He is standing at the base of a tower. Inside, Father is chilling with his two kids. Dad is all like, "Son, you need to lay off the dark side steroids. You're getting stronger and you're becoming more of a dick." And the son is like, "Excuse you? You're the one that brought the Chosen One here. You taunted me with the humans and stuff. Of course I had to act." And the father is like, "Fine, if you keep being a jerk, I'm going to have to ground you." And the son is like, "No, I have to watch Netflix." And he attacks his father with force lightning before flying away from the scene. Father literally rolls out the door up to Obi-Wan's feet. And Obi-Wan is like, "Well, that's one way to find the father." Daughter and Obi-Wan let the father rest inside. And daughter insists that her brother is good. Obi-Wan is like, "Hey, he took our friend and he just tried to kill your dad. You might want to consider your bro might be lost and your definition of good. Just consider it." And the daughter says, "Well, he was born evil, so we'll just play him some Lady Gaga, because baby, he was born this way." And Obi-Wan is like, "Lady Gaga aside, if your brother gets out of this place, the universe is going to be fucked. You need to help us." And the daughter is like, "Fine, follow me." And then they head to a cave, and they go down deep into the mines of Moria. Thankfully, they don't run into any Balrogs around the Bridge of Khazad Dûm. She leads Obi-Wan down some stairs and tells him to go to an altar. There's a blade there that can control her brother. Obi-Wan is like, "This is weird, but okay." And he hops across to the altar. He picks up a hilt, and smoke whirls around to make a blade. Back at Sauron's tower, Anakin climbs up a built-in rock wall, because if you look at it, he's literally climbing up a built-in rock wall from any sports store up to the top of the mountain.
Do you think they just scanned one in or something like that? I don't know. It was weird.
It was like the normal rocks, but the ones he was climbing on were red. Like, they were distinctly red while everything else was gray, and I was like, is he a Dick's Sporting Goods right now? Like, where is Anakin? He decided to step
Obi-Wan, look at me! Look at me!
Anakin, I'm busy! And then Anakin falls off the wall. Where was I? I lost my spot. Alright. He climbs up to the top of the mountain, and he hurries in and spots Ahsoka in the courtyard. But it's dark side Ahsoka. Ahsoka, who could be any creepy child in a Stephen King movie at this moment, tells Anakin that they need to join the sun. If Anakin doesn't join the sun, he'll kill Ahsoka. Anakin's like, "Yeah, that's dumb." And so Ahsoka says that he, Anakin, will have to kill her instead. And she attacks Anakin with her lightsaber, and they start fighting.
Oh, no, it didn't get any better.
No. We're trying. Like, we really are trying.
And now they're just like, "Hey, let's throw Excalibur and Mjolnir in there, too."
Mjolnir. All Mjolnir. Mjolnir.
I mean, there's some nice imagery in this one. There's more color going on in this episode than last episode.
This entire episode is nighttime. Do you remember last episode how we had distinctly daytime and distinctly nighttime?
Mm-hmm.
This entire episode is nighttime.
It's all gone. I think the next episode is too, pretty much.
Well, yeah, but the sister... Well, spoilers for the end of the episode. The sister dies, so that makes sense to me.
Well, Dad's pissed, and then we find out what all these guys, what the father, son, and the daughter's magic, their ultimate magical power is, and that's the power of flinging. That's how they seem to fight, is just like flinging people. There's so much flinging going on in these three episodes.
They don't have lightsabers.
No, it's just chucking people from left to right. That's about all I got from this one. Meh. Meh.
Okay. Well, I'll do a little bit better, but not by much. Couple shallow notes. The sun reminds me of Kylo Ren.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like, "Daddy, why don't you love me? I'm evil." The cave that the daughter and Obi-Wan go to is like the Force cave on Dagobah a bit.
A little.
Yeah. And I will say, Dark Side Ahsoka is super creepy, and Ashley Eckstein did a really good job voicing that side of her.
Yeah, they totally zombied her up, made her eyes bloodshot.
Yeah, so, okay, so to get to Ashley Eckstein did a really good job voicing Ahsoka in this one. So some of the other ones,
It's always more fun to get to play your evil side anyway, you know?
Yeah, it really is. It's always more fun. So one point that's really unclear amongst all of it. So the sun represents the dark side, right? Am I right?
Yes.
Okay, but they keep saying that he's falling to the dark side. But he is the dark side. So how is he falling into the dark side? Because it's his nature.
He's becoming too much dark side. Yeah, exactly. He's like, it's like, okay, you've been dark side, but now you're like, really getting like extreme dark side, and it's like a little too much dark side.
New moon, no stars at 3 a.m. with overcast skies, dark side.
Yeah, you're getting like knock it off, dude, dark side. You're becoming a real dick, dark side.
She's tampering in dark side and stuff. Yes, she did. The entire house is dark-sided.
She said her whole house is...
She is dark-sided, too!
But yeah, that just makes sense to me, because he is the dark side, but they're like, he's falling to the dark side, and I'm like, he's already the dark side, how is he falling even more? Like, did they just, like, throw him into a black hole where there's no light? Like, what is happening?
And the whole daughter doing the, like, oh, he's good because he is who he is. And it's just like, no, that's exactly the opposite of what reality is. He's bad because he is who he is.
You know, I am okay with that little bit, just a little bit. That, to me, feels very Star Wars, because of the fact
it
we know...
It could have been if they'd written it to make more sense, but it just didn't come off very clearly and, you know, succinctly and...
Yeah, but because we know that there are characters in the dark side, like, say, like, Ventress, and of course Vader got redeemed, so there is good in the dark side, and we know that the good guys have, like, darker natures to them and stuff like that. So that felt kind of Star Wars, that, like, I thought it would have been more interesting if there was, like, a change where, like, maybe if the sister fell to the dark side and the brother redeemed himself and went
right,
to the light.
Right, that's the thing is if the brother redeems himself, then the sister would go dark, you know, it would be something like that to just keep in balance with the dad in the middle at all times.
Yeah, that would have been a really cool story, because that, to me, would have shown more the nature of the Jedi and the Sith in the light and the dark. Because anybody on the light side can go to the dark side, and anyone on the dark side can go back to the light side. That's the point. But it just isn't that way. That would have been so much better. What did I write here? The Sun and the Doctor represent the basics of the Jedi and the Sith. The Jedi are selfless. The Sith are selfish, and their natures of these two groups, as we've seen in all the movies. Anyway. Yes, okay, here we go. This is my one good note of this. Ready? Yes, this arc is a mess. But one of my absolute favorite things in this arc is Dark Side Ahsoka. Because she gets to voice things that she probably wouldn't normally get to voice. Like, some of the books I've read about Ahsoka, like in the EU and the official canon books for Clone Wars, whenever they write Ahsoka, she internally, and some of these are canon, because they're canon books now, Ahsoka internally wonders if Anakin is proud of her. And she's, like, always wanting to prove herself to him. But she never voices it, because it's not the Jedi way. And the very first thing she does when Anakin arrives goes, "Are you proud of me?" And so I thought that's a cool moment, because she is getting to voice things that's not the Jedi way, and she's actually getting to show some emotions, even if it's through the dark side. The sad thing about this is, though, Anakin's probably not taking it because of the fact that she is being possessed, because in the third act, and I'm going to mention it again, she's just like, "I hate being called Snips," and the very first fucking thing he does when she wakes up is go, "Hey, Snips!" I'm just like, Anakin... But yeah, so I do, and I just think it's so cool just to see, like, evil Ahsoka. Like I said, it's always more fun to play your dark side stuff. I think evil Obi-Wan would have been better. And don't
evil Obi-Wan would have been fun.
Yeah, because he could have been throwing in Anakin's face, like, "I didn't fucking want you to be my Padawan. I fucking had to raise you. You're a piece of shit." Like, they could have really hit Anakin in the stomach on that one, because all I had to do was have Obi-Wan have a line of, like, you know, I got burdened with you when Qui-Gon died.
Oh, no, like, Obi-Wan would have so much more ammunition on Anakin than Ahsoka does.
Yeah, and I think it had been interesting to have Ahsoka being the one to go with the daughter down into the hole to get the dagger, because, I don't know. I just want evil Obi-Wan. I think that'd be so much better. So, yeah. But that's all I got for Act 2. All
right. You want to finish this thing off? Even though it's not finished when it's finished.
Yeah. This was kind of a weird one. It was sort of in four acts. So, next week was kind of a four-act one, too. So, these are kind of hard to split. Anyway, Act 3. Back inside, Daughter and Obi-Wan meet the Son in his throne room. And Daughter confronts the Son like, "Hey, did you attack our dad?" And Son is like, "Yep, he just wouldn't die, so I sped it along. That's cool, right? Like, we're cool. Like, everything's cool. Okay, it's cool." And Daughter is like, "It is not cool, and you're not allowed to leave this planet." And Obi-Wan pulls a, "You go, girl." And Son is like, "Hey, human, I made your friends try to kill each other outside. You might want to go stop them." And outside in the courtyard, Anakin's trying really hard not to fight Ahsoka. And he calls her Snips, and Ahsoka goes into a rage. And Obi-Wan arrives, and it's the two guys against Ahsoka. But back inside, the Daughter goes to stop the Jedi from fighting, and the Son engages her. So now the siblings are fighting, and everyone's fighting, and the father wakes up going, "These damn youths! Youths everywhere!" And Obi-Wan and Anakin are at a standstill with Ahsoka because they really don't want to kill her. And Obi-Wan is like, "Oh yeah, I have this brand new toy." And he pulls out the Dagger of Mortis. And Ahsoka is like, "I want that!" And she fights for it. And meanwhile, the Mortis kids continue to fight. And the Daughter turns into a griffin. And the Son turns into a dragon. So now they're mystically duking it out. So finally the father arrives. And he throws his kids out a window. I'm not making this up.
He flings them out a window. It's flinging power.
Yeah, he flings them out a window, which breaks up the Jedi fight, too. And the Son tries to force lightning his dad, but the dad is blocking it with his force powers. And evil Ahsoka smiles like she's a villain. And finally, the Son overwhelms the father and brings him to his knees. Obi-Wan tosses the Dagger of Mortis at Anakin, but Ahsoka leaps up and snatches it from them. And when she hands it over to the Son, the Son knocks her out, or presumably kills her? It's really unclear. Anyway, the Son goes to stab the dad, and the Daughter jumps in the way, and she gets stabbed in the back. And the Son is distraught and flies away like a Death Eater. And the Daughter is dying, and the dad is like, "Woe is me! The balance is broken! All is lost!" And Anakin's like, "I don't care! What about my Padawan?" And Obi-Wan is, and the father is like, "She is lost to the dark side." And Anakin is like, "I'm going to quote the future Jyn Erso. There is always hope. Rebellions are built on hope." Okay, so this is not the right movie, but I'm not giving up on Ahsoka. The father gives in and makes his daughter's last wish come true. Using Anakin as a conduit, he channeled the daughter's life from the light side, magical destiny, back into Ahsoka, and brings Ahsoka back to life, or back from the evil dark side, or something. Again, it's really unclear. But hey, they used the original trilogy score in that moment, so it sounded really cool. Thankfully, Ahsoka wakes up, and Anakin freaking hugs her. He hugs her. I don't care if it's not the Jedi way, and I don't care if this arc sucks. Anakin hugged Ahsoka. And it's great. And the Jedi are like, "Don't worry, father. We'll stop your son." And the father is like, "My son has all the powers of the Force in the galaxy and the dark side, but for some reason, he needs a spaceship to leave." Go freaking figure. Have all the powers of this dark side and you still need a spaceship to leave the planet. You just gotta leave.
He's gonna end up in the movie Star Trek V. That's all I gotta say.
And so, with the dad hugging the dead body of the daughter, the Jedi awkwardly walk away until next week. The end. I didn't make any of that up. Wait! I feel like I made it better, though.
I only have one note for this.
What?
Patronus! That's all I thought when I saw that, like, her turn into a griffin.
Expecto Patronus!
Yeah, I'm like, oh, look, here comes a Patronus.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have anything else for like the somewhat confusing death of Ahsoka or bringing back Anakin or anything?
No, because at this point, why not anything? You know, why not? When you're in fanfic land, it's like, hey, you know, I don't think, like, even if I was, like, when I watched this the first time, I don't think there was any fear that there was, like, oh, this is going to be the episode that they kill Ahsoka in. You know, they were going to, you know, that there was all sorts of magic-y stuff going on. So she wasn't going to, nobody's going to stay dead for long, you know.
Yeah. Though, I would say, like, if they had killed Ahsoka season 3, that would have been a really big blow, I think, to the show.
That would have been crazy, yeah.
But, because then, you know, it would just be the Anakin and Obi-Wan show for the rest of the time. But that would have been, but I could also see them doing it, because early on, people didn't like Ahsoka. But by now, I feel like she's grown on people enough that if they had killed her there, people would have lost their shit.
It would have maybe been a little too much for the kiddies.
Mm-hmm.
A little too traumatic.
Yeah.
Seeing as how she was the character that, that, like, anybody younger than, you know, a teenager is probably identifying with the most, you know.
Well, yeah. All right. I'm just gonna just read straight down my notes. Ready?
You got a lot of notes for this. Good luck. Good luck.
I'll pause between any in case you want to add stuff. So I also like that Ahsoka hates being called Snips, because I know how much you hate that nickname, Chris.
Yes, I do. I would have said the same thing had I been her. I wouldn't even had to been dark-sided.
I should just start calling you Snips.
No.
Hi, Snips.
No.
Okay, Snips.
I don't think it works.
Let's continue. Are you getting snippy with me, Honeywell?
Not at all.
All right. So I'm trying to connect the symbolism between
Snip
the Jedi...
Snip your wings.
Oh. So I'm trying to connect the symbolism between the Jedi fighting Ahsoka and the son and the daughter fighting amongst themselves to any of the movie... to any of the bajillion movies. If anything in this episode is supposed to be connected to this, to the movies, I'm just not seeing this. Like,
you can always drop on to just like, oh, it's the battle of light and dark. That's about
it.
Like, yeah.
I feel like with Dave, it should be something much more in depth. Maybe, you know, Obi-Wan rode a lizard to fight Grievous in episode 3. Maybe that's the dragon. I'm trying.
Yeah.
I'm trying really hard here. All right, anyway. God, guys. We really, like, if this is your first time listening to J-Guys and Jedi, I'm sorry. Like, we are usually not this salty about episodes. These are just really bad episodes.
It is what it is, yeah.
So,
at least you know we're not just doing this as a puff piece. We can actually not like episodes of Clone Wars. It's possible.
Yeah. And just as a note, I would much rather watch the three Jedi fight over watching the daughter and the son fight. I mean, I guess it's sort of okay and sort of cool to see how Force wielders fight with no lightsabers, but I was way more invested watching the two Jedi fight Ahsoka.
Yeah,
because that's when Ahsoka
real
could
characters.
Be really, like, that. Yeah, and they could, like, Ahsoka could be spouting things to Obi-Wan now, like, why didn't you, why, I was supposed to be your, you remember, Ahsoka was supposed to be Obi-Wan's Padawan in the Clone Wars movie. And Yoda was like, no, Anakin, you take her. And so Ahsoka could have been like, Obi-Wan, why didn't you take me? Or blah, 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 and blah, blah. Like, she could have threw stuff at both of them. Like, been like, oh, Obi-Wan, his failures are your failures as a teacher. Like, that just would have been so much more interesting. Okay, here's my attempt at symbolism again. In the scene where this, I feel like I'm reading essays at school. I tried really hard. In the scene where the son is trying to kill the father with force lightning, here's what I get from that scene. The son is the dark side, right? And the father is the balance. When you have too much of one thing, like the son having more power, it throws off the balance of things. Like the Empire throwing off the balance in the universe, or the Jedi in the Clone Wars having too much of the light side, and they couldn't sense the Sith or something. I'm trying.
Yeah, no, it was symbolizing the shift, you know, in the physical universe between the Sith and the Jedi. Because at this time, the Jedi were having trouble seeing what was going on because there was Sith stuff going on, but they, you know, they couldn't put a pinpoint on it. So, yeah, I guess it symbolizes what's going on in the Star Wars universe right now, but why do we need that? We know that already, you know?
I know.
That's what the whole Star Wars story is telling us. So, you know, why have it spelled out symbolically? If it's
that is literally my next note, because about the daughter's death. because on a character level, the death of the daughter is not impactful. Because to be honest, she's kind of a bitch. Just to be clear, like, episode one of Mortis, like, Anakin goes to save her from rock falling, and she's just like, don't touch me. And then this, she's kind of a bitch to Obi-Wan and stuff. So the daughter's a bitch. I'm sorry. And the death of the daughter's not impactful because we don't know her as a character. And maybe we're trying to get something here with foreshadowing for episode 3. Like, she said that in the last episode that the son, you know, we said that the son represents Anakin and the daughter represents Obi-Wan. And Anakin pretty much stabs the Jedi Order and Obi-Wan in the back with Order 66. So maybe this is all foreshadowing, but why do we need foreshadowing? Because episode 3 came out before Clone Wars. Like, see, why?
See, I think the daughter, the son, and the father all get to be dicks because they're on a higher level. And we're like squirrels to them, you know, where they're like, oh, they're cute. I like feeding them nuts for a little while, but then I got to go back to my real work or whatever. And then the squirrels are all like, what a dick. That guy wouldn't feed me nuts all day. You know, they're operating on a little different level than... That was a really bad metaphor, by the way.
Yeah, I liked it.
I just wanted to work some squirrels in there.
I liked it. I get what you're saying, though.
I think that's the first time I've worked squirrels into Clone Wars, so there you go.
Good job, Snips.
Jesus Christ.
So as I mentioned in my notes, Anakin's line about there is always being hope is very Rogue One or Princess Leia-y. Okay, so the entire scene of Anakin bringing Ahsoka back to life feels kind of biblical almost, but it's more making Ahsoka the Messiah character in a way, because she's actually the one that survives and becomes a good guy for the rebellion, but it's Anakin that falls to the dark side. So that's kind of like Ahsoka becoming a Messiah-like character right then.
Oh, for sure. Wait till next episode. It gets turned up to 11 almost.
Yeah.
Not as much with Ahsoka, but yeah.
It does kind of
make me wonder. Or she's Lazarus or something, you know?
Yeah, and it kind of makes me wonder if this early on, season 3, if Filoni had an idea of Ahsoka being a rebel leader. I have to wonder that, because this was years before Rebels.
See, it's
years.
I feel that George Lucas is working more off tarot cards than he is off of Christianity, though, you know, for this story. And the father looks like a tarot card, a guy on a tarot card, you know?
He reminds me of a chess piece.
And a chess piece. Well, the guys on the tarot cards, you know, on the classic tarot card deck, all kind of look like chess pieces, too, so... Yeah.
I'm going to teach you a new phrase. Ready?
Okay.
So I use this term a lot for Once Upon a Time, especially in these later seasons. And the phrase is, magical destiny bullshit.
Yay, I like that phrase.
So while I'm happy they brought Ahsoka back to life, Anakin reviving Ahsoka is some magical destiny bullshit.
Well, that's what fanfic stories are filled with, aren't they? You know?
Yep, magical destiny bullshit.
Or MDB for the people who want to say it quick.
Yeah, MDB. But, I mean, it's just one of those things that's like, oh, how do we fix this? With magic? What kind of magic? I don't know. It's magic. We can do whatever
the magic.
Fuck we want with it.
Light magic.
The best magic. You know, and maybe we'll throw in a magic item, like a wand or like a goblet of fire or
it's
something.
It's sacrifice magic.
Magical destiny bullshit. You don't have to explain it.
The daughter did the daughter was such a bitch. She sacrificed herself twice. Once by throwing herself on the sword and then by bringing Ahsoka back to life.
But then
they're just
scene.
Milking everything, you know. You know what I mean? It's just like the daughter can't just die. She half dies, brings Ahsoka back. You know, it's so unnecessarily complicated and muddled and ultimately fairly meaningless, at least in this episode so far.
And it makes, like, Anakin look like this, like, great savior kind of thing, because, like, the father couldn't channel the life through him. Anakin had to do it, because it is his magical destiny bullshit.
But but that's been going on in the Star Wars universe, and now it's sort of saying, like, oh, no, that actually translates out over here, so, you know...
Yeah. So that's your new phrase for tonight, Chris. Magical destiny bullshit. And again, like I mentioned last time, Anakin revives Ahsoka and calls her Snips. So I'm wondering if that's him ignoring the dark side of her, or if she actually really hates that name.
Hates that name.
I'm sure that's just Anakin being a dick. I try to find symbolism in all this. I think I just suck at finding symbolism or something. And my last note, here's my beef with this episode. Another beef with this episode. The last arc with Ventress and Savage, the middle episode was good, even though it needed the two bookend episodes to get the entire story. But it still was really good, and it somewhat stood on its own, and it made sense. There's something about this middle episode of the Mardis arc that is so heavy-handed and so underdeveloped and so off, and it just feels off. And so, like, the last story arc, like, I think it was the middle episode that we were kind of like, this is good, it's not the best. And but this is just getting worse and worse. And the last episode, story arc to the middle episode, better too. But I think the thing that made me realize that what's so off about this episode is the characters that we know, the Jedi, like Anakin, Ahsoka, and Obi-Wan, who we have known and we've followed for movies and seasons, they are confused, which makes your viewers confused. They're out of their league, and they're running around like chickens with their heads cut off, and they don't know what's going on, which leads us, as the viewers, to not know what's going on. But the father, the son, and the daughter are so underdeveloped in these like weird concepts that we're not getting solid answers to anything. Right. And so I think that is why this is so off, is when your protagonist, it's one thing if, like, you know, your protagonist walks into a new situation and they don't really know where they are, but eventually they figure it out, right? You know, a good story, you know, if someone walks into a bar and they don't know anybody in the bar, you know, they go up to the bartender, they talk, and, you know, they learn the area. The Jedi aren't learning the area. They're not learning anything. That's like,
they're just
like
getting,
you said,
bounced around like a pinball game.
And it's confusing for the viewer. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's the problem I have with this. And I think that's one of the biggest issues with the Mortis arc, is we're not getting clear answers about anything. And it gets even worse next week.
No, it'll explain everything next week.
Oh, ye of hope. So that's all I have. What do you think about this episode, Chris? Let's just finish it.
I'll finish it and score it. I like this episode a little bit better.
I kind of hope you were the ghost and like blah blah blah.
That would be it. Blah 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 blah. 6.0. I gave it a 6.0 because I like it better than the last one, because there was more action and color and stuff like that. So it was a little more, it wasn't just like standing and talking exposition fanfic. It just doesn't get balls out. If it got balls out goofier, I might be enjoying it more out of just like, okay, I give up. You know, I'm just going to enjoy this as being off the rails. But it's not off the rails in a fun way. It's like you said, it's off the rails in a confusing and kind of annoying way. And so I gave the last one a 5. This one got a 6 just because, I liked it a little better.
I'm hopping out because I'm trying to remember what I gave last week. I know it was much higher.
Yeah, you were like a 7.5 or an 8 or an 8.5 or something. Yeah, there was a good.
I'm pulling it up really, 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 really fast to check. Oh, come on. Load faster. Load. And then I'm going to have to reload my other one. This was a terrible plan. Why did I do this plan? Let's see. Oh, wait. Up. Yeah, I gave last week an 8 out of 10. And a lot of, if you remember, I gave a lot of an 8 out of 10 for last week is because of a lot of the character work, remember? And I thought it was really good character work and stuff like that. Well, as soon as I get back down to the bottom of this current page so I can read you what I thought about this, I promise you it's not so good. Here we go. I don't know how to feel about this episode. There's a few points that I do like here and there. I really do like Evil Ahsoka, but that's about it. I don't think the story here is really well done. These Force users feel like gods and our Jedi are just caught up in their game. And that's not really fun. That's not fun for us. And nothing is really clear. And I'm sorry, Dave Filoni, but the metaphors and the symbols are just not working. And there's no character work from last week to carry it for me. But I still love you, Dave Filoni. And so last week I gave it 8. This week I'm giving it a very middle score of 5 out of 10.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep.
That's a big drop.
That's a massive drop for me.
Well, at least we aren't at odds this week. At least we're relatively on the same page.
Yeah. All right. Well, as always, we would love to hear your feedback. You can leave us feedback on iTunes, which will help people find the show, or at Twitter at JGuysAndJedi, or on the Two True Freaks Facebook page. And so the feedback we got from the Facebook page this week is for our episode of Monster. Take it away, Chris, and I want to say something after you say this first one.
Okay, it says, this one's actually from Hope Mullinex, who says, I think Chris totally outdid himself with the editing on this episode. It's amazing.
Guys, if you did not hear our episode for Monster, go listen to it. Chris did such a great job editing it.
There's like, death cannons in that sucker.
And that was the big part of it, was like the second act with the whole Hunger Games bit. Honey, you did so good on that. That was amazing. So I just want to say, like, personally, like, that was probably one of your, like, best edited episodes of Jagas and Jedi, and you were so good in that one.
Well, that's what happens when I get that sort of scenario set up. Remember, you put a great deal of work into that, too.
Aw, thank you.
You did. You're the one who wrote and delivered it in Hunger Games style. I at least have to dig up some Hunger Games music and sound effects to help bring it to life.
Well, high five, go team. We did good together. High five.
All right, so now feedback from someone who wasn't one of us.
Yay. We just had to stroke our egos for a second.
Sure, why not? Okay, we got Aaron
Henley. We need to pick me up after this episode.
We got Aaron Henley, and Aaron Henley said, this was a great episode. I kept waiting for an "It's alive! It's alive!" joke, but oh well. Nope. Too easy, man. Too easy. Not too much. We went Hunger Games. We took it a different level. Not too much for this particular episode, as Savage wasn't really my favorite new character on the show, and I have to agree that he pretty much became one note after this. True, true. And then he said, in the grand tradition of Peter Falk, just one more thing. I've been going through the Two True Freaks archives, and I thought Area 51 had an endless sea of crates. Seriously, guys, I think I found a forest worth of crates down here. And I came across something very special. What could it be? Oh, just wait. Just wait. I don't know what that means, but
I'm eager
to find out.
Oh, I found the...
Did you get your package, Hope?
I did, but now I'm looking for my instructions. Or my note, because my note that has everything with it. Where did my note go?
I don't have mine nearby either. I'm just gonna grab. How about this? I'm gonna grab one and you grab one, and we'll see.
I was looking. There's a note that says what everything is, and I can't find my note.
I got mine right here, so I can read it if you.
Okay. See what everything is from. What's the? What do I want to eat?
So
I'm
much. What's going on is I used to gripe about how bad American. Kit Kats were, and our friend Dario Gonzalez and my podcasting partner of Eat It and Beat It start sending me Kit Kats from around the world. Well, Hope got jealous, so Hope started getting Kit Kats. Now we're just getting candy, like,
this
just
awesome.
Flat out all kinds of candy from all over the world, where we have to have a written list. Listen, candy list.
Dude, what did it say that the Barinha is? It says it's a yellow package, chocolate saber, 90 calories. Barico?
The Baducho?
Baducho!
That's from Brazil.
Alright, I'm gonna eat that one.
Okay.
Oh, I'm dropping stuff though. What just fell? I just dropped.
I'm gonna eat
cherry.
One that I know that you're not a big
cherry.
Fan of, so I'll eat it so you don't have to. And that's Big Cherry.
Actually, you know what? I'm gonna save the Barucho for our next one. I'm gonna have the Big Cherry too. Because, yes, while I don't like cherries, my mama always told me to try everything once. So I'm going to try it.
Oh, hey, look at this. It's not just Big Cherry. It's Christopher's Big Cherry.
And I will say that I do like cherry flavoring, so I'm hoping there's more of a cherry flavoring. Wow, this actually looks more like a cookie.
Well, my father was a big fan when we were growing up of chocolate-covered cherries, you know, with the sort of candied maraschino cherry inside. Whoa, this is not like a chocolate-covered cherry. It's got nuts and... Okay, I haven't bitten into it. Wow. So, this one says it has
cherry.
It says it has a whole cherry center. Oh, wow.
I'm finding the cherry, like, inside flavoring.
Like, it's got a maraschino candied cherry in there. And then, like, cherry nougat.
Oh, that's not bad.
Covered in chocolate with, I think it's peanuts. Some sort of...
This isn't as bad as I thought it was. I do like cherry flavoring, but I don't like the actual cherries.
Oh, we're doing two shows tonight. We're going to be sugared up.
Mm-hmm. That's why I got all my coffee drinking out of the way. This is really good. This is way better than I thought it was going to be. Thank you, Dario.
This is really good. It's really sweet.
Mm-hmm. Well, where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me sitting at my desk eating cherries at twotruefreaks.com. And
I would like to
announce, even though it's been a few weeks, but just today, as of the today recording, we have added another podcast to Two True Freaks.
Yay!
Superman Man of Screen podcast, which has been going on for a while. It's porting itself over here, run by Mike Zumo. Z-U-M-M-O, Z-U-M-M-O, if you're British.
It took me a second because there's an Atlanta radio host named Mark Zumo, and I was like, what?
Cool. Is he Z-U-M-M-O or is he Z-O-O-M-O?
I think he's Z-U-M-M-O. Mm. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's Mike. It's Mark Zinno. Z-I-N-N-O. Never mind. Zinno.
All right, okay. Never mind.
But we're happy to have you too, Mark.
So we've added yet another podcast, and there might be another one on the way that Scott Gardner's working on.
Ooh.
A mystery podcast. He's not working on the podcast. He's working on bringing someone's podcast to True Freaks.
That's cool.
So that's in the works. So we don't know if that'll happen or not. But yeah, it's fun. We're getting some new blood all the time. We like new blood. So twotruefreaks.com, 1,000,001 podcasts, and now all of a sudden, poor Gene Hendricks. Ba-dum-ba-ba-dum-bum. Gene. Poor Gene Hendricks, the guy who listens to every Two True Freaks podcast. Every time we add a new podcast, I think, oh, geez. Oh, poor Gene.
You know, he loves it.
Every new podcast for Two True Freaks, you know you're going to get at least one download from Gene. And
I will say, with all these new podcasts, it'd be really cool if we could, have a little update on our website. So if you like our Two True Freaks podcast, make sure you hit the Amazon link on twotruefreaks.com. And then when you buy something, you get proceeds sent back to us, and it doesn't cost you a thing. Or if you want to just drop us a little donation, so we might, pay someone to spruce up the website. That'd be cool.
And that's what, yep, the Amazon link is pretty much what pays for our web hosting for the year, so that all these podcasters don't have to pay, like, something like Libsyn to post a podcast.
And now I'm looking at mine, too. My thing right now, I think it's because my ad blocker is on. I'm not seeing it, so I'm going to just...
Yes, if you have ad blocker, turn it off for twotruefreaks.com. I swear to God, we don't got nothing bad. We have no pop-ups or anything. We have no advertising on there except for the link to our Amazon site. At this point, that's the only advertising you hear on Two True Freaks. Although, you will hear Hope and I definitely plugging different kinds of candy.
Yeah.
But that's not paid. That's just out of the goodness of our sugar-sodden hearts. And of course, we're on Twitter, and Gene, the podcasting machine, runs our Twitter feed. We have a Facebook page. We have a Facebook Two True Freaks Cantina, where people just go to shoot the shit. Our new podcaster, Mike Zumo, he has a Facebook page for Man of Screen podcast that you can go to, and quite a few of our other podcasts have Facebook pages, like the Fear of the Walking Dead cast, and Back to the Bins, our great comics podcast, our long-running comics podcast.
We Didn't Beat It.
And He Didn't Beat It has its own page, sure, and so does Garage Sale Gloat, which is getting you... By this time, there's probably going to be a new Garage Sale Gloat or two out by now. By how far we work in the future. So, yeah. What about you, Hope? You're on the internets doing all kinds of stuff. Always, ever, all the time.
Well, I run our Twitter page, which is at JGuysAndJedi. And I'm also on Twitter at Hope Mullinax. I can't talk. At Hope Mullinax. And I'm also the newsletter for WhatTheFangirl.com. I've been a little quiet recently because I'm still processing a lot of my 221 Beacon stuff and like going through my interviews and stuff. But as soon as I get through all that, I'll be back on to writing news again. And I might write it. Like, we're getting into pilot season and show renewals and councils and stuff like that, so I might be writing some more just to get it done, but yeah, I've been mostly focusing on trying to get through my 221 BCon stuff, which you can hear the episode. I was on the Strong Women in Sci-Fi and Fantasy panel at 221 BCon, which is on our feed for this show, so check that out. And yeah, that's all I got here, Chris. So I guess come back next week for more salt in your wounds.
And remember the question, what's the point?
What is the point?
We find out next week.
I always think of Modern Family because there's a character, Phil, and his wife always goes, what's the plan, Phil? Mm. And that's how I kind of feel right now. Like, what's the plan, George? George Lucas, what's the plan?
Ask Yoda what the point is.
My dick!
Oh, Yoda's penis.
Okay, bye everybody.
Bye.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at 2TrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, 2 True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the 2 True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at 2TrueFreaks.com. 2 True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. T-R-U-E-F-R-E-A-K-S.
You can email 2TrueFreaks directly at 2TrueFreaks@gmail.com.
2TrueFreaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search 2 True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find 2 True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for 2 True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about 2 True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
2 True Freaks.
All right, children. The lights are out and the party's over. It's time for me, Dr. D, to start running and say goodbye for a little while. And I know you're gonna miss me, so I'll leave you with this. You know that big ball of radiation we call the sun? Well, it'll burst you into flames if you stay in one place too long. That is if the static don't get you first. So remember, even if you're dusted, you may be gone. But out here in the desert, your shadow lives on without you. This is Dr. Death Defying, signing off.